I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. And we're going to be focused in chapter 42 and the first part of chapter 43, but in order to get there, we've got to have some background. So we will be looking actually at chapters 40 through 44, but our focus is going to be in 42 and the first part of 43. So I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 42 and going through verse 7 of chapter 43. This is God's word. Then all the army officers, including Johanan son of Kareah and Jezaniah son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest approached Jeremiah the prophet and said to him, "Please, hear our petition and pray to the Lord your God for this entire remnant. For as you now see, though we were once many, now only a few are left. Pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do." "I have heard you," replied Jeremiah the prophet. "I will certainly pray to the Lord your God as you have requested. I will tell you everything the Lord says and will keep nothing back from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you, so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God." 10 days later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, so he called together Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. He said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition, says. If you stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. For I am grieved over the disaster I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord. For I am with you and will save you and deliver you from his hands. I will show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your land. However, if you say, 'We will not stay in this land,' and so disobey the Lord your God. And if you say, 'No, we will go and live in Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the trumpet or be hungry for bread,' then hear the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt, and you do go to settle there, then the sword you fear will overtake you there, and the famine you dread will follow you into Egypt, and there you will die. Indeed, all who are determined to go to Egypt to settle there will die by the sword, famine, and plague. Not one of them will survive the disaster that I will bring on them. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. As my anger and wrath have been poured out on those who lived in Jerusalem, so will my wrath be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You will be an object of cursing and horror, of condemnation and reproach. You will never see this place again. O remnant of Judah, the Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Be sure of this. I warn you today that you made a fatal mistake when you sent me to the Lord your God and said, 'Pray to the Lord our God for us. Tell us everything he says and we will do it.' I have told you today, but you still have not obeyed the Lord your God and all he sent me to tell you. So now be sure of this. You will die by the sword, famine, and plague in the place where you want to go to settle." When Jeremiah finished telling the people all the words of the Lord their God, everything the Lord had sent him to tell them, Azariah son of Hoshaiah and Johanan son of Kareah and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, "You are lying. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you must not go to Egypt to settle there. But Baruch, son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to hand us over to the Babylonians so they may kill us or carry us into exile to Babylon. So Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers and all the people disobeyed the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. Instead, Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers led away all the remnant of Judah who had come back to live in the land of Judah from all the nations where they'd been scattered. They also led away all the men, women, and children and the king's daughters whom Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, had left with Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, son of Neriah. So they entered Egypt in disobedience to the Lord and went as far as Tapanes. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What in the world happened? The people said, find out what God wants us to do, and we swear we will do whatever God says. Whatever he says, we want to do the will of God. And then they are told what the will of God is, and as Jeremiah is telling them, he can see what's going on and what God already knew was going to be the response of the people and told Jeremiah was going to be the response of the people. He can see it happening. Their minds are made up. They're going to Egypt. Why would they be so determined to go to Egypt that they would say, we'll do whatever God says, and then when God speaks, they say, you're lying. God didn't say that. We're going to go do this. Well, some background is helpful. Okay? As we've looked at the book of Jeremiah, we've seen that Jeremiah was given a very difficult message to proclaim. The message was that our country is about to be conquered. It's going to be overrun by forces that are, on the one hand, enemies of God, and on the other hand, servants of God. They are being raised up by God to do God's bidding, which is the destruction of God's people. Because God's people have refused to obey God. Because they would not do what God commanded. When time after time he sent prophets, he warned them, he called them back, he rescued them time after time. God comes to the point where he says, that's it, it's done. It's over. And he raises up Nebuchadnezzar to come against them and lay them low. And I mean, there's bloodshed, there's destruction, there's famine, there's plague. People die by the sword. This is a tough, tough thing. So what these people who are saying, we want to do God's will, and then refuse to do God's will, what they have seen is the destruction of the capital city, the destruction of the place where God's temple was, the place where they felt like, well, we're safe because we're close to the temple. I actually had a person say to me years ago, I've always been terrified of flying, but I don't mind flying this time because you're on the plane. That man, you've got it really wrong. I said, well, I don't want you to be frightened to be on the plane, but let me assure you, my presence on the plane is not going to do you any good, okay? These folks thought because there was a place where God had manifested his presence that somehow that meant they were okay. No. Do you remember the story of the man who reached out to steady the ark and God struck him dead? Why? Because God said, don't touch the ark. They weren't obeying. And when you try and draw near to God in a state of disobedience, that's not safe. That's not safe. So they had witnessed the destruction of their city, and they had seen the majority of their people who were not killed carried off into exile. The best of the best. The Olympic athletes and the beauty queens and the princes got carried off to Babylon. People like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those folks were taken away. The best of their youth, their sons and daughters, And the folks who were left were a ragtag group. So they'd seen that, and the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had left a new sub-king, kind of a lieutenant king, in his place to rule over them. He said, this guy's in charge, I'm putting him in charge, you serve him like you serve me, you do what he says. And he was a nice enough guy. There was another fellow named Ishmael. His name, by the way, the guy who was put in charge was Gedaliah. This is back in chapter 40 and 41. Gedaliah was a nice guy, relatively speaking. He's been put in charge. And there's a guy named Ishmael who's a scoundrel, a murderous guy. And a fella comes to Gedaliah and says, Ishmael's out to get you. He's a bad man. We need to stop him. Let me take care of him for you. And Gedaliah says, oh no, what you're saying about him is not true. He's not that bad. And Ishmael comes and kills Gedaliah. Assassinates him. Okay, now, you're one of these people who's seen the wrath of King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar puts this guy in charge and says, you're to do what he says. Now, he's just been assassinated. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't think Nebuchadnezzar is going to look upon that favorably. Right? This is not going to go well for us. When word gets back to Nebuchadnezzar that Gedaliah has been killed, we're going to be in trouble. Okay? He's going to come back here and be very, very angry. We've already seen what he can do. It doesn't stop there. After Ishmael kills Gedaliah, some people come from surrounding areas bringing offerings in order to worship the Lord at what remains of his temple. And Ishmael slaughters all of them and throws their bodies in a cistern. And those were God worshipers, okay? And they were killed. Then he takes the people captive, enslaves them, and they're rescued at the last minute by the army, some army officers who come along and rescue them. And the bad guy Ishmael and his little group of servants escape. So the bad guy is not dead, but he's killed a bunch of people. And Nebuchadnezzar's going to be upset with the fact that one of the people he killed was the guy who was supposed to be our ruler. I think we better relocate. That's the consensus. So look at the end of chapter 41. And you'll see that when all these army officers came and asked Jeremiah, find out what God wants us to do. At the end of chapter 41 in verse 17, it says, they went on stopping at Gareth-Kimham near Bethlehem on their way to Egypt to escape the Babylonians. They had already decided what to do. They had already decided where to go. They had already begun a journey without asking God. They were just doing what made sense. It was the sensible thing to do. Yes, indeed. Nebuchadnezzar's terrible. We need to go someplace else. That makes sense. Egypt is a good place. They've got their own economy. They've got their own culture. We have had relations with them in the past. We're going to go down to Egypt. But we probably ought to bring God into it. You know, I think it would be good if we would, let's pray, okay? Before we do this thing. We're already on our way. We've already left this place and we're on our way, but we ought to ask God. And so they come to Jeremiah and they say, what does God want? What does God want? He wants us to trust and obey. Not to obey him out of, I don't have any choice, but to obey him out of love. To obey him out of reverence. To obey him because he is worthy. He is great and greatly to be praised. He is the creator and the ruler of all things. We need to come to him saying, God, I want to do your will. And then do what he says. So they come and they say, we will do whatever God says. Anything. Lord, you just show us. You just tell us. We'll do whatever you say. Sounds good. I'd be pleased. But you see, they didn't mean it. What they meant was, we'll do whatever God says as long as it fits with our plan. We'll do whatever God says as long as it doesn't cause us to have to repent. Repentance means a change of mind that results in a change of direction. They were willing to do anything God said as long as it didn't require repentance. We're on our way to Egypt. We'd like to know what God would like. Well, Jeremiah asked God. They said, pray that the Lord your God will tell us where we should go and what we should do. They said, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with everything the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it is favorable or unfavorable, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you so that it will go well with us, for we will obey the Lord our God. Why do they want to obey the Lord? Because they want things to go well for them. They want to be blessed. They want to be happy. They want to be comfortable. They want to be prosperous. They want to be safe. Please. Where am I safe? Where am I safe? The title I gave to today's message is Where Am I Safe? Because that's why these people were moving. They wanted to go someplace safe. They wanted to go someplace safe. Where am I safe? Where will I be okay? What do I have to do? And so God responds and he tells them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition, says. If you stay in this land, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I'm grieved over the disaster I've inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you and will save you and deliver you from his hands. I will show you compassion so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your land. Don't be afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. Whoa, Nebuchadnezzar is a scary guy. He's killed lots of people. He's conquered lots of nations. God says, this is God talking. Nebuchadnezzar is not a big deal compared to God. It's not like God says, well, I'd really like to be able to do more, but you know, Nebuchadnezzar is a hard guy to control. Read the book of Daniel, okay? Nebuchadnezzar is going to be stripped of his power and his sanity and sent to live outdoors like an animal because he is so prideful, so arrogant that God just says, oh, had enough of this, and puts him to pasture. Wow. God is on the throne. He's in control. And you and I do not have to fear the various scary people and forces, governments, institutions, whatever it may be. It's not a problem for God. It's one of my favorite stories. I keep trying to remind people of it. One angel took out 185,000 soldiers in one night. One angel. Okay? I mean, God really is not intimidated by armies.
You better watch out. We're coming to get you.
Yep, God's in charge. If God wants to protect you, there's nothing that can harm you. Nothing that can harm you. On a couple of occasions, when the people tried to kill Jesus before it was time for him to die, they were completely thwarted in their efforts. And in one instance, I love the statement, He walked through their midst. Okay? It doesn't explain how that happened. It just says that, you know, here they are, and they're going to kill him, and he just goes right through the middle of them. I'd love to have a tape of that. I'd love to have seen. I mean, did Jesus kind of disguise himself, dematerialize, you know, where did he go? Or was it more like Jesus starts walking toward the people who are coming toward him, and as he does, they all kind of... I don't know how that worked. I just know it worked. Okay? Let me tell you something. You are safe in obedience to God. You are safe in obedience to God. Where am I safe? You are safe in obedience to God. Guess where you're not safe? Anywhere else. Anywhere else. Oh, we're going to build a tower and it's going to reach all the way up to where God is. And God says, let's make it so they can't communicate with each other. And all of a sudden they're speaking all these different languages and nobody knows what's what. And everybody kind of goes off with their own little group. And so I'm like, baby. Okay? God's not intimidated. God is on the throne. And we are safe in obedience to him. Jesus says in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, do not fear those who can kill the body. I will tell you who to fear. Fear the one who, having destroyed the body, can cast the soul into hell. You and I are going to stand before him one day. What are you afraid of? Afraid of what people will think? Afraid of what man will do to you? Where's my light and my salvation? Whom shall I fear? That's what the psalmist says. If you are in obedience to God, you don't have to be afraid of a thing. So you're saying, if I walk in obedience to God, I will enjoy perfect health, plush conditions, lavish finances, and nobody will be able to hurt me. No one will be able to harm you. You may have health problems, financial problems, and be the most unpopular person in your town. And they may come and burn you at the stake, as they did with various choice servants of God across the centuries. Well, that doesn't sound very safe. Oh, but it is. Because if you are walking in obedience to God, you're going to be fine. He will see you through whatever problems come, and he will receive you to himself. All the problems in this world are temporary. They're temporary. There's only so much they can do. I talked with a guy who was smuggling Bibles into the communist countries back in the old days when people like Putin were in charge. And they had made it illegal over there in those countries to bring Bibles into the country and for the people to print Bibles and have Bibles. And I mean, it was an officially atheistic regime. And this guy was smuggling Bibles in, large quantities of Bibles, not just one or two. And I said, aren't you afraid they might catch you? And he said, oh, they've caught me. They've caught me before. And I said, well, aren't you afraid they might hurt you? And he said, well, they've hurt me before. But he said, there's only so much they can do. He said, if they kill me, I go straight to heaven. And he said, if they don't kill me, I can keep on serving the Lord. That was his attitude. Love that guy. His name was Legion, by the way. There were a bunch of people who were doing that. I've met more than one. I've met several who were a part of that. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid if you're walking in obedience to God. Not because it'll always be easy, not because it'll always be pleasant, but because it is always the safest place on the planet. Jesus said, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. If you're willing to lay your life down for Jesus, then you've got nothing to be afraid of. If you are trying to figure out a way to preserve your health and wealth and happiness, you're in trouble. You're already in trouble. Because Jesus promises that people who live that way, trying to protect themselves and make sure nothing happens, are going to suffer great loss. And that's what he tells these folks. Now, they flat out disobeyed. They said, they didn't say, no, we're not going to do what God says. They said, we don't believe that's really God. We don't believe God really told you. You're lying. You're trying to get us in trouble with Nebuchadnezzar. You want us to be killed by him or taken into captivity. Yeah, that's my motive. Jeremiah, who had faithfully proclaimed the word of the Lord, and everything Jeremiah said came to pass. That's why they're asking him to find out what God wants, is because they know Jeremiah listens to God and God tells Jeremiah what to do. And so they're like, we've seen your track record. It's very impressive. Would you please go and speak to God on our behalf? Jeremiah says, okay, I will. And by the way, he didn't come back the next day. He came back days later. Okay? Sometimes, this is for several of you, sometimes it takes a while to know what God is saying. Jeremiah goes and he asks the Lord. He didn't wait 10 days to ask God. He went and he asked the Lord, and initially, if you can't tell what that is, that's silence. Okay? Initially, that's what he got, was silence. Lord, what do you want? Where should they go? What should they do? Not a word. There are times when we ask God what to do, and we want an answer now. And God says, and we're like, I'm listening. I spent the better part of a year asking God, what do you want me to do? What do you want? I mean, I can tell something's coming. What do you want me to do? Please, just show me what you want me to do. I'll do whatever you say. I'll go anywhere. I'll leave the ranch. I'll do anything. God, I just want to do whatever you want. Please, show me what you want me to do. Not a word. I'd hike up to the top of the ridge. I'd cry out to God. I'd fast and pray and seek the Lord. Not a word. I'm not talking weeks. I'm not talking a month. I'm talking most of a year. And when it was time, God told me what he wanted me to do. And it came to pass. And thankfully it passed. I did what he told me. And then he said, okay, focus here. Now let me just tell you something. You can never do better than to obey God. Years ago, when I felt the Lord telling us to leave the pastor in Atlanta and come up here and start the ranch, my middle of three sons at the time said to me, how much are they going to pay you? And I said, I have no promise of a salary whatsoever. And he said, well, I don't think that's even biblical. He said, what does the Bible say? A man who does not provide for his family is worse than a what? And I said, infidel. And he said, exactly. Turned around and walked away. He's now, you know, got a law degree. But what I told him, is, there's nothing I could possibly do for my family that would be as good as obeying God. You understand? You can't do better than that. Well,
on the one hand, there's the option of obeying God, and on the other hand, I'm looking at several considerations here that might be an improvement. No.
That's like saying, on the one hand, I could do something that is guaranteed to be ultimate safety and blessing, or I can do several things over here, all of which are guaranteed to result in disaster. What should I do? Obey God! Obey God! You will not be harmed. You may go through pain. You may go through all kinds of suffering. In fact, Jesus said, plan on it. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. You see, now death cannot harm us. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So they went down to Egypt. We're not going to read chapter 44, but I want you to know that when they got down to Egypt, what they did was to worship pagan gods. They worshiped pagan gods, and Jeremiah said to them, chapter 44, verse 21, did not the Lord remember and think about the incense burned in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem by you and your fathers, your kings and your officials and the people of the land? When the Lord could no longer endure your wicked actions and detestable things you did, your land became an object of cursing and a desolate waste without inhabitants as it is today. Because you've burned incense and have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed him or followed his law or his decrees or his stipulations, this disaster has come upon you as you now see. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, including the women, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah and Egypt. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You and your wives have shown by your actions what you promised when you said, we will certainly carry out the vows we made to burn incense and pour out drink offerings to the Queen of Heaven. Go ahead then. Do what you promised. Keep your vows, but hear the word of the Lord, all Jews living in Egypt. I swear by my great name, says the Lord, that no one from Judah living anywhere in Egypt will ever again invoke my name or swear as surely as the sovereign Lord lives. For I am watching over them for harm, not for good. The Jews in Egypt will perish by sword and famine until they are all destroyed. Those who escape the sword and return to the land of Judah from Egypt will be very few. Then the whole remnant of Judah who came to live in Egypt will know whose word will stand, mine or theirs. This will be the sign to you that I will punish you in this place, declares the Lord, so that you will know that my threats of harm against you will surely stand. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to hand Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, over to his enemies who seek his life, just as I handed Zedekiah, king of Judah, over to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the enemy who is seeking his life. What's going to happen? They're about to see the wrath of God again. There's much more to the story, but let me tell you, you've got the theme. The theme is, you can flee to another country and you will not find safety. The only place of safety is in obedience to the Lord. And if you will obey the Lord, you are safe anywhere. Anywhere. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you have given us a place of safety in Christ Jesus. We stand in Him. He is our righteousness. He is our refuge. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I trust in Jesus' name. Lord, grant that it might be true. May we walk in obedience to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.